We begin the season of Lent. It is a season that turns us in a particular way to focus our minds and hearts on the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross, and on the fact that it is us and our sins that brought him to the cross. Some today, however, insist that this is the wrong approach to the season. They try to sort of downplay the ideas of suffering and sacrifice and crucifixion and turn our attention straight to the joy of the resurrection. Why focus on the negative, they say, when there's so much positive? But this approach is misguided. It's true that there is so much positive, but they've lost sight of who Jesus really is and why he came into the world. And this is nothing new. It's the same problem the devil has at today's gospel reading. The devil really seems not to understand who Jesus is, and also not to understand that he has to suffer even out there in the desert. For example, twice he says, "If you are the Son of God, do this, do that." And besides, if he knew that Jesus really was God, he wouldn't have tried to tempt him, because then he would know that he would fail miserably. And the devil hates to be humiliated. The devil has angelic powers and knowledge, but he's not God. Only God is all-powerful and all-knowing. He knew that Jesus was different than any creature he'd ever seen, even more special than that terrible creature, as he would think, Mary of Nazareth. He knew Jesus was even more special than her. And he may have recognized Jesus as the Messiah, but maybe he didn't understand that the Messiah would also be the Son of God and God the Son. Or maybe he just couldn't accept that the Creator of the universe would choose to become this weak, pitiful creature starving in the desert. Whatever the reason, it seems pretty clear that in the desert, Satan didn't really know who Jesus was. He didn't know then, but he knows now. And while he no longer even dreams of tempting Jesus, he still tempts the rest of mankind on earth. And he tempts us to be like himself, like the devil, particularly by helping us to simply not recognize Jesus for who he is, to forget that he is the God who loves us so much that he was nailed to the cross for our sins. But we must not fall into this temptation. And so in Lent, we go out into the desert to face the devil and his temptations, just like Jesus did. Now, mind you, we don't go out looking to find new temptations, but to become aware of the temptations that we've been already falling prey to every day of our ordinary lives throughout the year. In the desert, the devil tempted Jesus to make bread out of the stones laying there to satisfy his appetite. Every day, the devil also tempts us to satisfy our appetites, our desires, to seek the meaning of life in pleasure and not in suffering. And so we don't understand how Jesus could come to suffer and die for the times that we embrace the pleasures of the flesh, trying to live on bread alone rather than on the Word of God. The devil tempted Jesus to have dominion over all the kingdoms of the world, to find his purpose and success in the world. And the devil tempts us to find our success and purpose in the world, in money, power, possessions, popularity, all these things that the world seems to offer us. And so we don't understand how Jesus could find success and purpose in poverty and humiliation. Finally, the devil tempted Jesus to cast himself from the parapet of the temple so that he would force the angels to catch him. And so the devil was trying to make him prove that he was God and had the power over the natural order of creation. And he tempts us also to try to act like God, to usurp God's authority and manipulate the natural order of God's creation by trying to control and redefine the meaning of life and death and love. And so many things in human life. And so we can't understand how Jesus could come to be obedient to his Father, even to the point of submitting to his Father's will to accept death on the cross. Lent is 40 days of preparation for celebrating the resurrection on Easter. But before the glory of Easter comes, the suffering of the cross comes on Good Friday. All of Lent, then, is in a way a meditation on an attempt to share in the passion of Jesus to become more worthy of his love. And we do this in various ways. We make sacrifices to show our desire to pay for our own sins and to free ourselves from the temptations to be attached to our appetites and to worldly power, and to trying to manipulate God's natural order. And we also give alms, acts of charity, of love for those in need, just as Jesus did, out of love for sinners and so desperately in need of help. But above all, we pray. In Lent, we have particular ways of praying that specifically leads us to meditating on the love of the cross. One way we do this is praying the rosary and meditating on the sorrowful mysteries. Another is to pray the Stations of the Cross. You know, you could pray the Stations of the Cross at home if you want to. I think we have some booklets by the doors. If you take one home, or you can find one online or on your iPhone or whatever, and you can just pray the Stations of the Cross at home. Or you can come here, even better. Come here in the middle of the day when no one's around, or in the evening when no one's around, and just walk and say the stations. If you don't have a little booklet or instructions, just go to each station and meditate on what's there and say the Our Father. Hail Mary, glory be. Or you can come on Friday evenings, when we have the Station of the Cross together. We had about 200 people here the other night for stations. It was beautiful for the first Friday in Lent. Another way that we have a special kind of prayer in Lent is this Thursday. And every Thursday Lent, we're going to have a holy hour on Thursday night. And during that, I'm going to give a talk, as I've always given talks during Lent, the Lent series. But this year, the talk's going to take place in a holy hour. I'm going to talk for about a half an hour, and then we're going to pray the rest of the time. And we're going to pray the rosary for most of that. So if you've never been to a holy hour, don't be afraid to know what to do. I'm going to fill the time up for you. But we're going to meditate. I'm going to talk about the agony in the garden. Great way to start off. The agony is the beginning of the passion of Jesus. And so, a great way, I hope, to start off the season. But above all, we have the greatest prayers of the church, the sacraments. And then we focus on our sins and doing penance for them. And so the sacrament of penance, confession, comes to the forefront. All of our efforts to recognize and confront our sins and temptations, and all the sorrow and all the firm resolve to mend our lives, bears fruit as we bring them to Christ himself and confess them to the priest who stands in the place of Jesus. And here the love of Christ pours out from his pierced hands and feet and side, and we receive the grace both of forgiveness and the grace to go out and change our lives. It's an amazing sacrament. But you know what's even more amazing to me? Is that when you consider that every Sunday we have about 3,000 people come to Mass, and most of those receive Holy Communion at Mass. Very few people, except the little ones that are too little, most people receive communion. And yet, every week we only have about 50 or 100 people come to confession. During Lent, we have a lot more. It's true. Good. But during the year, only about 50 to 100. Let's say 100. 100 to confession and 3,000 receiving communion. That doesn't make sense to me. Not that you're all terrible sinners. Okay, I don't expect everybody to go to confession every week. I don't want that. I don't even want that at all. I couldn't do it. I'd die. But maybe we've forgotten what the sacrament of penance is all about, and maybe we've also forgotten in its connection to the sacrament of the Eucharist. In Lent, the Church reminds us that the Mass is first and foremost a representation, a presenting again of the very same one and only sacrifice that Jesus offered on Good Friday on the cross. And we really, truly, and completely look upon Him whom we have pierced with our sins. Think of that. If we have sins then, especially mortal sins, how can we look on Him, and worse yet, how can we say that we love Him and receive Him in Holy Communion when we fail to confess our sins and receive our forgiveness in the manner that He specifically gave us when He told the apostles, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, whose sins you do not forgive, are not forgiven. Now some would point out, like I just did, that, well, the sacrament of penance is only necessary for mortal sins. Only mortal sins make me unworthy to receive Holy Communion. That's very true, but there's more to confession than that. Think of this. How many today would be willing to stay seated during communion today, denying yourself the chance to receive and to be one with Christ in this most sacred way, under the logic, well, saying to yourself, well, you know, I received communion last week, or last month, or last Easter. So, you know, I don't really have to receive again for another, you know, couple months or years or something. And yet so many people tell themselves, I don't have to go, I went to confession last month, or last year. I don't have to really go. I don't want to receive the grace of Christ's forgiveness today, and I don't want to take time to think about how my sins have pierced the hands and feet of my Savior, and I don't really need to bathe in the love poured out from His wounded side. No, I don't want that. Please, Jesus, don't give me grace. You come to Mass, and you want to receive the grace of Holy Communion. Why don't we go to confession and receive the grace of that sacrament that helps us so much to stop hurting Jesus? It's so very easy to be tempted into misunderstanding who Jesus is and why He did what He did for love of us. But it doesn't have to be that way. This Lent, do not listen to those who would confuse you about Jesus, whether it's the devil himself or other, or just the people around you tempting you. Do not seek Him in pleasure, but in sacrifice. Not in works that lead to distraction or amusement, but in works that lead to meditation and reflection. Do not seek Him in the world, but in His church, His word, and in His sacraments. For these 40 days in the desert, focus your minds and hearts on the love of Christ poured out on the cross and on the repentance of your sins that nailed Him to that cross. Praise be Jesus Christ.